Oh, we're live. Okay.
We're live. It's I'm still getting used to the in our apartment studio sessions. Mm-hmm. Still feeling it out, still getting used to it. So for those listening, thanks for bearing with. But today
they're like, it's fine, about, just start talking.
Yeah, they're like, shut up, get to the good shit. But today we're gonna be talking about micro salons, and I think this is a fun topic because one, I think everyone thinks they have, I think everyone has a different definition of what a micro salon is, even our own team.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about how this word micro salon got out there. I don't know if we started it because I feel like
we said it the whole time, but I don't.
I think we started the idea of micro salon. And I'm sure someone will come at me for, you know, I love when people are like, we've been doing that for 25 years. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But I trademarked it. So I just want to point out that micro salons are what I would consider, and Sid, you can tell me what you think. But in my head, a micro salon is someone who rents or owns a suite and they only have one or two chairs, more than likely one, and they don't know what to do next. And so they need to hire someone within their suite. And they're sharing that chair, or they're sharing two chairs, or they're sharing multiple spaces in a suite. And then, of course, our goal after that is to help them open a full-on commission salon. Because as we know, doing basic math, that the best way to make money in the salon industry is to own a commission salon. So to me, a micro salon is someone who has a suite and starts to realize that I need to hire employees to make real money.
Okay. You glitched. Sorry. All right. Mark that, Drew. But I have stuff to say. All right. Okay. So a couple things. This started when we were coaching a lot of independents. And something that we would see quite often is they started in their suite life to minimize their schedule, right? Like we got them to raise their prices. They were charging like $150, $200 an hour. They were banking. They're working 3 days a week. They're no longer working Saturdays. And then what we would see would they're paying for this suite to sit there 4 or 5 days a week while they're not working in it. And they're paying full rent, whether they're there or not. And so we started to really think about like, well, that's a waste of money, right? Like, why are we not utilizing and maximizing this space? What if you were to hire an employee that couldn't afford rent, but wants a space and could start working within this suite? Another thing we started to think about was, well, what happens when you get hurt? You have to pay for that suite no matter what, or if you take a vacation. And so to have another person or two people within that space where you are taking a commission, and they still have all these freedoms of being a rental or an independent, is a huge opportunity for so many people.
Yeah. And I think going into suite rental is such an interesting choice. Because again, I think it's symptomatic of a salon industry that is trying to figure out we're trying to figure it out. Right. Mm-hmm. We're trying to be less abusive, less toxic, less this, less that. And in that interim, we're going to have a lot of people go to suite rental, which is nice for a mental break for a moment. It's really nice. It's nice to have your own space. It's nice to not have to, you know.
It's a good stepping stone.
Yeah, it's nice to not have to like call in or, you know, deal with a boss who's maybe a nightmare. Those are really nice things. But eventually the individual who goes into a suite or into a rental situation starts to realize this, I can't make more money unless I work more, charge more. And like you said, if something, God forbid, something happens to me, I'm not able to make, it's not a safe bet. Right. So like you said, we started helping people hire within their suites. And you have to check your lease if that's something that you can get away with, and you need to speak to a lawyer.
It's actually more legal
if that's something that you can do
than you think.
Yeah, I think people are like, people get really worked up. Like, no, like I rent it, and I'm the only one allowed in here, and there are a lot of things in the contracts. There are a lot of loopholes around what that looks like. So we started helping people hire their first employee and pay them commission, because the reality is, if everyone's going to rental, which is this whole movement right now, what are all those kids in school what are all those people in school gonna do when they get out and there's no commission salons? Like, where are they gonna go? Oh, they're gonna go to a micro salon who's gonna charge commission. So it's just this new cycle of commission, but everyone is using independent, I think, as this moment of pausing and like reflecting, and then hopefully we can all re-enter the commission world with a different mentality. But that's not just going to happen because we all took a break. That's still going to take coaching. It's still going to take learning how to do things differently, thinking outside the box. But the reality is that what's going to happen cyclically is that we're going to go and have our own space. We're going to have that moment of, oh my God, I need to hire people so I don't have to work all the time. And then we're back at the commission salons, which is good. But it's that moment that we at Destroy the Hairdresser are training people for. How am I going to salon differently? How am I going to do commission differently that isn't abusive, that isn't toxic? And I think that's my favorite part of helping micro suite owners or micro salon owners get to that consciousness, into that idea of, oh, really what I'm doing is building a commission salon. I just didn't want to do it because my former boss sucks, or it was really abusive, or whatever it is, you know,
or finances.
So I don't know. I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about everyone going to their suites and then having this like, I think I need to hire someone. Mm-hmm. And it really just starts with that thought. Like,
it could just be one person to work when you're not working, to make your suite should be making you money when you're not there. Like, that may, your rent is paid, your expenses are paid. Like, it's an opportunity for another stylist to profit. I think something that I think everyone forgets, it's like, we're all coming into this industry in different experiences, and we have very minimal options for everyone. So it's like, I get out of school and I go and work in a commission salon, but let's say I'm like 45 years old and this is my third career and I have four kids at home and I can't work what this commission salon that is not doing things the DTH way is wanting me to work. So am I out of a job and I can't afford, because I don't have a clientele, a suite? So what a great opportunity to be able to come into a suite, vibe and mesh with the small space and having that kind of inclusive experience. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm making my own schedule, I'm doing my own things. And then the suite renter that actually is legally tied to the suite is now able to work freely without having to worry about expenses or bills. Like, it just completely makes sense. But you have to be in the mentality to be able to manage your business like that. Not everyone's there. And I also think that it's one of those things that, like I said earlier, a lot of people don't financially have the money to be able to open a salon, but they want to be salon owners. So this is a great stepping stone to get to that next point.
I want to do a little PSA that if you rent a suite, you are perfectly set up to be the next successful commission salon owner, and you don't have to do it like you experienced it. You can do it differently. You can do it proactively. You can do it safely. You can do it in a way that helps people. And that's why I'm so pro commission. One, because it, you know, financially it's the best outlet. But two, if we do commission right, if we really transform it from the ground up, we're going to have a totally different industry.
And absolutely,
I believe that we're doing that one salon at a time. I think, yes, it's going slow, but it's still happening. And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of the reason why that happens.
Yes. I think there's still so, again, I said this in another episode, like, so many people are attached to their experience and they're not realizing all the pain that's happening within this industry. But like, there has to be more options than what we're giving. And so it's okay to have a salon that is a commission salon that has W-2 employees and that gives unlimited time off. And I think people get really confused about this because they're like, how do you pay someone for unlimited time off? And there are state legalities, which you would talk to your lawyer about and all of those things. But the reality is just not stopping them from going to a funeral, not stopping them from going, taking the day off if they want the day off, not stopping them from, you know, needing a mental break. Like, it's just those kind of conversations of like having bigger picture solutions. And I think everyone gets so caught up in the, like you said, the black and white, like it doesn't have to be so difficult. Like, we have Coach Kat and Coach Ethan, who are micro salon owners within our coaches, and they're killing it.
I know. And I want to help all of the micro salon owners out there, or sweet salon owners out there, turn into micro salons and then turn to commission salons and mm-hmm. just flip this industry upside down. And if you've been listening to DTH for a while, you know that our methods are for commission salons, right? Our methods are for transforming the commission salon end of our industry. And what's funny is sometimes people are like, oh, destroy the hairdresser. They're pro independent. It's like, we're pro everything.
Everyone.
But we focus most of, I think, if not all of our student body is at least a micro salon owner or a commission salon owner. And the goal is that we know that through changing that part of our industry, that we are going to have a much better time when new people enter the industry. But we have to make the industry more attractive for new hairdressers to come into it. There are mm-hmm. other countries and there are states. So I think it's Iowa is one of the states. And I know like New Zealand and Australia as a country, they are having a really hard time bringing people into schools. Like people aren't becoming hairdressers. Iowa as a state is having a really hard time. And I'm sure there are other states as well. But as a country, Australia, New Zealand, and there's no one going into the hairdressing field.
It's crazy.
I mean, and you want to know why? Because it's not worth the time mm-hmm. to then not have a job. Like, it's not worth the time.
Yeah.
This is why I'm anti-licensing, which we'll talk about again, I'm sure, some other time. But
if you want to know more about that, we have an episode on it. Just scroll
there
back.
Is an episode.
It was last year.
This is the problem with like too much red tape,
mm-hmm.
too many hoops to jump through to do hair. We're not doing heart surgery. we're not. Like
that we can do in our
for
kitchen.
For me to have to jump through hoops and pay a lot of money to do hair, which is something that my mom was doing illegally to me as a mm-hmm. child, I just feel silly. So I just, you know, we have to change the industry because it's not attractive to anyone coming into it. So if you own a commission salon and you're fucking it up, you should be worried that you're not going to have employees at some point because nobody wants to be a hairdresser. We have to change the industry and turn it back. I won't say turn it into something that is financially sexy.
Yes.
That's the episode name. Financially sexy.
Okay.
Write that down. Let me ask you one last question, Sid. Are you financially sexy?
You froze again. Sorry. Right at the financially sexy part. But we could end it there.
Are you financially sexy?
We can't end it at you going, write that down. Do you want to end it there?
Just end it there because you're breaking up and glitching.